Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
Well, now let me give you a student's perspective on the great Stanley Toussaint from Hinckley, Minnesota. I first met this man when he arrived on a campus as I was beginning my second year. We met, he may not remember, but we met on the steps of what was then Mosier Library. And I was taken by his warm smile and his large hands, just a great handshake and great eye contact. And I thought, boy, he's going to be one easy professor. Talk about a wrong first impression. One of my favorite guys at the school while I was here is a man named Bill Bell. Bill and Ralph Alexander and I studied together almost every day as we prepared for class. And Bill came up with a great nickname. Profs get nicknames that they never hear about. And Bill used to say, we got to get ready for this exam. Tuffy Toussaint is giving this exam, remember. I remember another prof we had that had the habit of saying, this serves to indicate the fact. And one guy kept a record of it in one class. He said it 19 times in one lecture. This serves to indicate the fact, and this serves to indicate the fact. We got to where we called him St. John the Indicator. It was another nickname. Dr. Toussaint was tough. It was a good nickname. We had a classmate named Rod who said to me on one occasion, you got to watch out for Toussaint. He has kind of a mean streak. He said it came out in him the other day when I had flunked another exam. He pulled me aside and he said, now, Rod, the last thing I want to do is fail you, but it's still on my list. That's a tough thing to say to a student. I was struggling my way through what we got to call rabid Greek reading, and we were facing a pretty tough quiz. And to prepare us for the quiz, Dr. Toussaint decided he would ask the class a number of different questions just to see how well prepared we were, and he chose me for one of his choice questions that I'm not sure Jesus could have answered when he So I took a stab at it, and I knew I was wrong, but I had the audacity to say when I finished with my palaver, Dr. Toussaint, you agree with me, right? He said, Chuck, if I agreed with you, we'd both be wrong. What you don't know is after I graduated and after Stan had been here for a while at the school, he and I were both involved in the ministry at Grace Bible Church. Back when Dr. Pentecost was the pastor, and I served alongside him and Dr. Toussaint, I sort of, you know, emptied their trash. And it got to where I would say, some people's trash is other people's treasure. I would go through the trash and pick up all kinds of things that I would use later on. Anyway, I had an old Marine Corps buddy that had come into town. He's a pretty crusty guy. He had really lived with some guilt over the way he had been spending his life. And he said, now, I need a little help. He had called on the phone to talk to somebody, and he got me on the phone, and he said, hey, I just want to find out about who leads that church over there. He said, who's the pastor? And I said, it's a man named Pentecost. He goes, whoa, Pentecost. Isn't that kind of where they went wild in the Bible? I said, well, you could say that if you like. And he said, I was there Sunday night. Who was that guy up front waving his arms with all the songs? And I said, well, he's name is Toussaint. Two saints? He's named after two saints? And I said, yep, that's a way to put it. And he said, what's your name? I gave it to him. He said, oh, man, that is one weird place. You got Pentecost as a preacher, guy named after two saints as a song leader, and Swindle working in the background. Then he had a few comments I won't share today about it. Now let me get serious. I've loved and admired this man since we first met. He taught me to love Greek, and he taught me not to be intimidated by it. He doesn't know it, but he has modeled a style of expository preaching that I have copied in many ways. And if you hear enough of him, you will hear some of that coming out in me. And I have him to thank for that. One of the very best classes I ever took was 2 Corinthians, which I've told him about many times. It was back in the days when classes were smaller. In fact, believe it or not, there were 7 in that elective course. And counting Doc Toussaint, there were 8 of us that sat around the table. And it was sort of like being mentored every time we met for class. And I still have the notes from that class, and every once in a while I will pull them out and smile as I look through them. And here and there, I see things that remind me of Dr. Toussaint. He had some of the funniest lines. He taught me how to remember the Greek word for seal. And I've told him about this. Stragidzo. He said, think of the seal coming out of the water going, Stragidzo, Stragidzo. So I never will forget the word for seal. He taught me the word for the inside of our body, splankna. He said, think of throwing up, splankna, splankna. So every time I go to the innards, I think of splankna. You had a marvelous impression on me, Dr. Toussaint. I want you to know that. My role is like no one else's in this room. I serve as the pastor of the church he and Maxine attend. Just pause and take that in for a few moments. The guy who taught me what I know, and if that isn't enough, sitting across the room from him is Howie Hendricks and Gene. They are right there watching every move, listening to every word. No one is a more faithful note taker than Stan Toussaint. Can you imagine that? Taking notes when I preach. Now, I've never read what he was writing. His kindness and his encouragement have meant more than I can put into words. I used to think it would be intimidating to preach in a church where he and Dr. Hendricks were members. It's not intimidating. On the contrary, it's very affirming. And I hope when you reach that age and you have accomplished even half of what he's accomplished, you will remain that teachable and that gracious. It's a remarkable thing to witness that from one week to the next. I feared when I heard he was going to leave the seminary that he might be, for some reason, no longer teaching our largest adult fellowship called the Marathon Class. That's the class of mainly senior citizens. They're the ornery people in the church. And I'm always glad that Stan Toussaint is there to shepherd them and to help them correct their attitude. So thank you for that, Dr. Toussaint. Seriously, he is absolutely adored by those more than 200 people. And if we had the room big enough, it would be 300 and 400 and 500. All these years, I have watched him far more closely than he's watched me. And I have never once been disappointed. I can't say that about most people. I have a pastor friend who keeps a small black book of those who have failed in ministry. And he was preaching here in this seminary pulpit on one occasion. I was sitting where you're sitting. And he said, this morning I entered name number 42 of those who have failed and fallen since graduating from our school. It may seem like a grim exercise for you, but it was a reminder to me that it is not automatic that anyone finishes well. And I can say to you in all sincerity, if you're not careful, you won't. However, if you heed this warning and follow this example of a man we all love and admire, you will finish well. And when you will look back on your life with very few regrets. Can you imagine how fulfilling it must be for this man as he lays aside his courses and his classes and the daily responsibilities, and alongside Maxine, the love of his life all these years, be able to reflect on these 50 and more years at this school, not counting the years at previous schools. My gosh, how old are you? That's a long, it's occurred to me. I must be 120. No, we got him while he was still young, and just imagine the joy that is his every evening to think before he turns in of the lives he's invested in. That's how great is that. Paul, no doubt, when his beard was white and his hair was long and unkempt, came to the end of his days. It didn't happen for him at a seminary. It happened in a dungeon. It was all behind him by now. No money, no prestige, no comfort, no warmth, no bed, no companionship except for that ever-present Dr. Luke, who was there to care for him till he died. Only his memories, only his reflections. He would no longer found another church. He would not write another letter. He was facing the inevitable. He could almost hear the boots of Roman soldiers above him as they would make their way to the dungeon to march him off and sever his head from his body. After all he had done, this was the thanks the world gave him. And even those who once followed him and loved him and believed in him had for the most part forsaken him. Who wants to be the friend of a prisoner about to be executed? All alone, under torchlight, he writes his last words. And I challenge you to place 2 Timothy 4 in a very special category of your mind. Handle it with great care. Don't play with that text. Let it say what it says, and let yourself feel what he must have felt when he wrote, Verse 6. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Two beautiful word pictures. I'll not be pedantic here, simply say the first is a picture of a sacrifice being poured out, when lamb's blood would be poured at the base of an altar. It was the ultimate picture of sacrifice. Paul uses it another time in Philippians 2:17 as he refers to his work with them as being the pouring out of an offering. But here it's the real deal. It's being poured out. It's not a statement of immediacy, it's a statement of certainty. He doesn't know when he will die. He knows that he will. It's only a matter of time, maybe days, maybe hours. He may not be able even to finish the letter. The time of his departure had come. Moving word, it's a hapaxlegomena, and it's used for the releasing of a boat from a harbor or the breaking of camp as soldiers move on to their deployment in warfare. In this case, it's a departure from this world. He's leaving. He'll never be back. He's made his investment, and his life has come to this great benediction. He's leaving it in the hands of a younger man. How much Timothy must have meant to Paul. How Timothy's style must have been shaped by Paul. All the way through this letter until you get to these verses, it's you, Timothy, you. Always second person singular. You now. But you, however. You, others have failed. But you won't fail. You, however. Now I. There's a sudden change to the first person singular. And from this point on, 25 times he refers to his life. Very unlike Paul. Not to call attention to himself, but to prompt Timothy. Take the torch and run with it. Run with passion. Run with purity. So that the truth does not get lost amid the times that were coming. And the letter is full of those kind of times. With that, Paul turns to three statements that are sort of like staccato notes on the score. Look at it. The good fight I have fought. The course I have finished. The faith I have kept. Each of them perfect tense. An accomplished fact. Each time it's the event that precedes the action. In fact, there's a play on words. The agony I've agonized. No one else quite like Paul agonized. I mean, can you think of the times of suffering our friend Stan Toussaint has gone through over these years of ministry? He will never tell you. But if you know anything about ministry, you know that many years. The insults he's received. The way he has been treated by some. The words of parishioners that were said that were thoughtless and sometimes even hateful. No one this godly can live without those who hate him. Never forget that. And yet there's no bitterness here. There's no rancor. There is no regret. There's no complaint. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. Every once in a while, I like pulling out the message and reading it from Eugene Peterson, 2 Timothy 11. I've worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, wrote Paul. I've been at death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews, 39 lashes. Stop. Imagine that. I've never been flogged once. 5 times I endured 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once and left for dead, shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea a night and a day. Think of that. In hard traveling year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers and fend off robbers and struggle with friends and struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, and betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor and many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. The good fight I have fought. Don't lick your wounds when you get to this age in the ministry. It's a good fight. It's worth every moment of unrewarded labor, unappreciated messages. It's worth it all. This is his memory. I can tell you without even asking. Finish the course. It's an athletic term, you know that. I haven't simply run it, I finished it. So many get started. So many run for a while. So many have great dreams. So few finish well, really noble. Really exemplary lives. There's one. Don't ever forget him. It can be done. Finish the course. You're getting just the rules these days. You're getting just the, you're learning where the edges are. You're learning a little of the course. You know so little of what's in front of you. That's okay. Probably best you don't know. But you're going to run it. And in the middle of running it, when Dallas Seminary is a 20 and 30 year memory and 40 and 50 year memory, keep running it. Keep running it. Don't slow down. Stay at it. Stay at it. So important that you live like that. More than you realize, you are someone's hero simply because you represent Christ in whatever may be your career, counseling, preaching, teaching, missionary service, whatever. There are those that just hang on your model. Thankfully, we don't think about that much, but they are there. This faith I have kept. Isn't that wonderful? There's argument over whether it is the body of truth, the faith, or it's his own faith. I think both of them work. The body of truth I've remained faithful to. And if you don't remain faithful to it, who will? You have an enormous responsibility just by studying here. Bear it well. Hold the torch high. Preach his word when they want to hear it. And when they don't want to hear it. When they love you for it. When they walk out on you. I often think services aren't really complete till a few folks have walked out. Let them walk out. I don't care. Why would I care? It's not about them anyway. It's about God and his word. Sometimes it is so convicting they can't bear staying. And as my wife, who's so practical, said, sometime, honey, they simply have to go to the bathroom. So Don't take it so personally. Wives are great, great sources of truth. I've kept the faith, and there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Can you imagine the rewards? I can't. And I'm so grateful that I've had just a little bit of my life connected to a whole lot of His. I'm so glad I don't end my life like the man that wrote this simple poem. Across the fields of yesterday, he sometimes comes to me, a little lad just back from play, the lad I used to be. And yet he smiles so wistfully once he's crept within. I wonder if he hoped to see the man I might have been. God, don't let us end our lives like that. Don't end yours like that. Our Father, we thank you for many things today. Among them, we thank you for those faithful men and women who have lived the life, who have walked the talk, who have modeled the message, not one of them perfect, all of them far from that, but people who have impacted us in such a way we will never be quite the same. Thank you for this man who may leave our ranks, but certainly stays and stands strong in yours. Who may no longer teach classes at this school on a regular basis, but will continue to teach with his life and through his ministry that reaches out across the street and across the states and across the seas. May this faithful man be magnificently rewarded for a job well done. Thankfully, you are one who never will forget. And one day he will be honored as he should be. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Everybody said, why don't you join with me and let's thank Dr. Toussaint and Mrs. Toussaint for a life well lived. Will you do that?